Are you really a team player? This year's annual Make Symposium, held each spring in CIT Cork, focused on the labour of art, its social and economic value. One contributor was Dr. Danielle Child, whose work looks at the relationship between art and work under contemporary capitalism, looking at, for instance, how much even artists creating participatory art, with hundreds or even thousands of collaborators, still cling to that idea of a single artistic genius at work. Rachel Andrews spoke to Danielle Child.
It kind of started around the third year of my undergraduate degree. So I did a BA in art history, and I started to learn about Damien Hirst's use of assistants, and I started to think about these people who were painting spot paintings in studios, and why wasn't Hirst touching the work or painting them? And I started to ask these kind of questions because it all seemed really new to me then. I was quite shocked to learn that, and now I realise that it's commonplace and it's normal practice for people to employ workers within the art world, but it felt like something that I needed to learn more about and that I wanted to delve a little bit deeper into that and why they were being hidden. My name is Danielle Child. My father was a heavy goods mechanic, now retired. I'm the first person in my family to go to university, so I feel quite strongly about coming from a working class background and being in academia and thinking about workers within artistic practice. I'm talking about artists' assistants, so people employed in artist studios, art fabricators, so companies that particularly manufacture works of art for artists, facilitators, which is a newer model which provides services for artists, technicians, I mean gallery technicians. There's a whole range of kind of art workers that are out there that are largely invisible, I think, still within, I guess, dominant art discourse, or to the general public at least. The employment of other people to make works of art is historical, and I don't think that's necessarily changed. I think the visibility of that, especially during the modernist period where the focus was on the individual artist, and you had often famous male artists who were pictured in their studio alone making, even though they might have employed assistants in the background, but were absent from the images in order to create a kind of narrative. So I think it becomes hidden for the market a lot of the time. And within the neoliberal period, this shift to collaboration and participation in art practice that aren't necessarily engaged in making objects but doing performative works has kind of shifted how we might perceive this kind of collective labour. In the practice of an artist like Thomas Hirshhorn, who undertakes practices that are known as monuments, and he's done a number of these. So he did the Bataille Monument in Kassel in Germany a number of years ago, and the Gramsci Monument, I think 2015, in America, in New York, in the Bronx. He does these community projects where he goes into different housing estates and employs locals from the community, and they build temporary shacks, and there are lots of events. They're very complicated things, but Hirshhorn's very adamant that he's the artist and that he's going to work with the community and that they work alongside him, but he's still the named artist and it's still his work. In that case, you know, that's quite different to someone who is doing a collaborative project in which the participants are seen as equal.
It was a way of looking back at British history, at recent history, at a recent battle, that in a way was as important as any other battle in history, but it wasn't a war in a traditional...
Jeremy Deller's Battle of Orgreave is, again, subsumed under his name. He acknowledges the people who, you know, with whom he works within that, but there, you know, there's over 1,000 participants, I think, something like that, and of ex-miners and members of the public who come together and kind of professional or amateur reenactors as well from a reenactment society. So there's a lot of people with that, and it's still very much seen as Della's work. One of the groups that I look at is Liberate Tate, who undertake performances within the Tate galleries in London as a protest against the sponsorship by BP oil company. And so up until 2015, when the sponsorship was dropped, they would go in and kind of act collectively, often anonymously. They would wear black veils and dress all in black, and they would undertake actions. So Timepiece is a durational piece where they stayed within the gallery from high tide one day to the following day, and they inscribed text on the floor of the Turbine Hall, and it was rising as the tide would, and they managed to stay in the gallery after it closed, and they took their own toilets, their own self-heating food, and I think in that way their kind of practice is absolutely collaborative and collective, and you know, something opposite to maybe a named artist who is working with the social. And that's not to criticise what Hirshhorn or Della does, because they're artists and they want to work with people and with communities, and I think that's important. But Liberate Tate do it as very much as a collective. To go back to this point about neoliberalism, what happens kind of ideologically within society under neoliberalism is that the individual is really fostered and harnessed. And one of the arguments that I would make is that this shift to collectivity is perhaps, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously a reaction to this emphasis on the individual, that artists suddenly realise that the social is a way to react against that, that there's a way that actually let's bring people back together to make collectively, or to, you know, to perform collectively, to do something in the face of a society that's trying to kind of separate people somehow.
Yeah, you were talking about the idea that grew up, I suppose, since the Romantic period, of the kind of the lone genius, mm-hmm. mostly male yeah. artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's something that got fostered by art history, that was written by male, middle class, white, you know, people. There's a mythology that accompanies that, I think. And also for the market, you know, in order to make works valuable, you don't talk about the people in the background, you talk about the hand of the artist.
Dr. Danielle Child there, and her book is called Working Aesthetics, Labour, Art and Capitalism. Rachel Andrews was the reporter, and we'll have more from Make 2020 next week on Culture File.